My dear friends in Christ, as a priest going on my 14th year, I've been called to the hospital many times for many different reasons. Some for visitation, others because people were on their deathbed or had just died. Whenever I meet up with these situations, I try to take time to converse with the doctor to know what's going on. Or what had happened. I get all sorts of different reasons why somebody passed away. Heart failure, stroke, suffering from cancer for this many years and finally, it overtook them. Heart attack. But I remember talking to this one doctor one time about this certain case. And I asked him, what happened? He goes, the man died of a broken heart. I said, come again? That's your professional opinion? He goes, well, we ran across cases like this. His wife had died about 3 months before. They had been married for around, if not over, 50 years. And he goes, and it's not uncommon for when the wife dies, for the husband, they've been married for so long, been soulmates, to pass away soon thereafter. We call it the broken heart syndrome. I said, no kidding. He goes, yes, well, there's nothing else that we can really point to it, but one very essential factor in their life has gone. Today, Holy Mother of the Church points to another deathbed. Has us recall to our minds and our hearts. And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And our Lord looks down. And there he gives to us, to John, his mother. Behold your mother. But let us continue the story. Christ was crucified with two others, two thieves. One, of course, we know his name was Dismas, and he stole heaven when he asked our Lord to remember him. But because there was a feast coming up the next day, and they didn't want them to be on the cross, usually what was their fashion of custom with regards to execution was let them stay up there until they just die of their own weakness. But they had to promote it. They had to promote the death. So it was customary for them to go and to break the legs of people they executed, so they couldn't hold themselves up to get a breath of air. So they would not only be under excruciating pain for their legs being broken, but they also had no way of putting themselves up, so they would suffocate to death under the weight of their own body, arms outstretched. And so the soldiers went to the one and went to the other. And when they came to our Lord, they saw that he had already expired. And one of the soldiers named Longinus, being placed at that awful scene, probably on account of command and duty, probably was yelled at by the centurion on duty at the time, as commanders are wont to yell at those under their command orders, was ordered to take his spear and to plunge it into the heart, just to make sure. And it says in Scripture, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who saw it bore witness, and his witness is true. There was a demonstration there that God wanted us to see, and it's to what extent he loved us, to the very last drop of his blood. That is why at Mass, when there's a consecration that takes place over the bread and wine, and that great act of transubstantiation takes place, the body and the blood are not together but separated, because the sacrifice has already been completed. It is just represented on our altars. And here we remember, when we see the mystery of the sacrament before us, the great love that God has for us, to the very last drop of his blood. But there was another heart that was affected at that point. You who are mothers, when your children are hurting, you hurt. When your children are in pain or distress, you are in pain and you are in distress. Parents, you know the love that you have for your children, fathers and mothers, that when there's a concern about them because of the love you have for them, there is a concern for you. And so we can only imagine, in a small way, the concern or the heaviness of that immaculate heart of Mary, who at the cross her station keeping stood. The heart that gave that life fluid to the sacred body of the infant Jesus as he was forming in the womb of that immaculate mother was the blood that was spilt that day on Calvary. And a great mystery unfolded. She not only was his mother, but became our mother. That's why Holy Mother of the Church holds out to us this gospel and says to us, remember, Christ took out an insurance policy on you, gave you his mother to be your mother. Behold your mother. As Christ shares his blood with us, his body and his blood with us, not as cannibals do we eat, but we consume to partake, to become one with, then we have a relationship with our Blessed Mother. And that is why we can call her our Blessed Mother. And what is the power of this mother? Scriptures Scripture foretold it before she was even born. In the Book of Wisdom, and we read today, I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. You want true hope in this crazy, godless world? Here's your answer, right here. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. Holy Mother of the Church doesn't do anything by accident. It is not by accident that she picked this epistle, this excerpt from the Book of Wisdom or Book of Ecclesiasticus in the Old Testament, and gave it to us today on this feast. Just telling us, here's an answer. Here's an answer to your deficiencies. Here's an answer to the world's deficiencies. And as if it wasn't clear enough for us, she appeared to three children at Fatima: Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, and gave them a message and said, "It is the will of my Son that devotion be spread to my Immaculate Heart." And in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Do we want to be a part of that triumph? Do we want to overcome evil? Then we must live up towards Scripture where it says we must overcome evil with good. And in this day and age, in these times, the answer to the problems is the devotion to her Immaculate Heart. What does Scripture continue to tell us in this Book of Wisdom for those of us who wish to be wise? My memory is unto everlasting generations, prefiguring what she would say when Elizabeth exclaimed how great it was that the mother of her Lord should come to her. Our Blessed Mother says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." The Book of Wisdom continues, "They who eat me shall yet hunger, and they who drink me shall yet thirst." Oftentimes we read the Old Testament and we don't give the time that we need to understand the meaning of the Scripture for us. "They who eat me shall yet hunger, they who drink me shall yet thirst." If you have a devotion to our Blessed Mother, she leads you to Him. She gives you the want to want Him. When you have a devotion to our Blessed Mother, you can't help but get closer to Him. "He who hearkens to me shall not be confounded." Remember that beautiful prayer of St. Bernard? We know it as the Memorare. "Never was it known that anyone who fled to her for protection, implored her help, or sought her intercession, was left unaided." Never. Even if we have a very imperfect devotion to our Blessed Mother, she comes through, she helps out. She's a good mother. A mother of fair love. "And they who work by me shall not sin." You have a fault, you have a sin, you have a habit of sin, you have something you want to try to overcome. Here's your answer. Get a devotion to our Blessed Mother. Don't say the rosary, pray the rosary. Make her a part of your day, and you will make Him the part of your day. And when you make Him a part of your day, you have a solution to every problem that you could possibly have. Every problem. You need strength? Go to her, she will take you to the source of all strength, of all goodness, of all power. When you go to her, she makes you and enables you to receive him. And when you receive him, as we read in the last gospel, and they who receive me, or they who receive him, he gives them power to become sons of God. And parents, my dear friends in Christ, this last part here is important for us to remember. As a priest, I constantly am reminded of this whenever a Feast of a Blessed Mother comes up, or her day on Saturday comes up. And they who explain me shall have life everlasting. Do I want life everlasting? Well, I know I can't really depend on myself. I fail too easily. I am too weak. I sin. But if I promote her, she makes sure that I'm taken care of. That's why here, for those of you that come on Saturday to Mass, we have a little custom that we do after Mass. I do. I like to promote it here at this wonderful church dedicated to our Blessed Mother. We sing the Hail Holy Queen in Latin, the Salve Regina. Singing is praying twice. That's the way we show honor to her. You as family members, set up a shrine in your house. Show her honor. Teach your children to love our Blessed Mother, and they will learn to love Christ. And what is better? Teach them to spread that devotion, and theirs will be life everlasting. That's what Scripture says. Scripture doesn't lie. They who explain me shall have life everlasting. So my dear friends in Christ, on this Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, let us rejoice. Rejoice at the things given to us. Let us make good use of these gifts that are given to us. As we have consecrated our church here, and hopefully you have consecrated your families to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, know that it's to Jesus through Mary. It's the same avenue that he used to come to us, is it not? If he wanted to, he could have appeared full-grown man, already created. After all, he made the heavens and the earth, and man by the clay of the earth, and breathed the Spirit into him. But he chose to be born through the Blessed Mother. In order so that when we look for rebirth by his grace, we have an avenue opened up to us that is far easier than trying to do it by ourselves. Now remember, the end story has already been prophesied. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Let that triumph start now. Let that triumph start with us individually. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.